Zman Shir is being sponsored by the Nussbaum Family of Paramus in memory of Achav Shmuel ben Achav Meir Zal. So last week we began to discuss the Minyanim of Chinuch. Last week we focused primarily on Chinuch as it relates to positive mitzvahs, mitzvahs asei. So tonight I really want to top of that Shir and speak about Chinuch in terms of mitzvahs los asei, in terms of preventing one's child or perhaps somebody else's child from doing averus, or even actively causing somebody, a child, to do averus. What are some of the ramifications of this halacha? So the sugi really begins with somewhat of a humorous story in Maaseches Yevamos, and the first of the Marmakomos, and Daf Kuf Yud Gimel Amud Beis. The Gemara tells the story of Rav Yitzchak Bar Bisna Ichusul Leimaftechei the Beis Midrash Bishus Ram Bishabata. Rav Yitzchak Bar Bisna, I guess he was the gabba, he was in charge of the keys to the Beis Midrash, and somehow the keys ended up in the middle of the Rishus Arabim on Shabbos, and they couldn't get into the shul. So also the Kamadari Pedasa, they came to our Pedasa, and they asked him, well, what are we going to do about this problem? So Amalei Zil Davar Tali Vitalia Vilatayla Hosam. They go bring the little children. Literally, the Talia means in Aramaic is little boys. Talia means the little girls. So he said, go bring the little boys and little girls. They should go out into the street and they'll play around in the street. And the Imashki Chalum Aisalu. And we all know that one of the things that kids love to play with, unfortunately, sometimes not to our liking necessarily, are keys. It's always the car keys, especially the car keys which have the alarm on them, especially on Shabbos afternoon. So they had the same problem in the days of Chazal also. But here they were going to use this problem for a solution. So Rabbi Pidal said, go send the little kids into the street and they should play a little bit. And hopefully they'll look at them and they'll find the keys. And what are they going to do with the keys? They're going to walk around with the keys. They're not going to tell them what to do. They're going to walk with the keys and hopefully eventually they'll find the way to the Beis Medrash and they'll open up the Beis Medrash for us pretty advanced children. So comes the Gemara and says, how could we sanction such a thing? How could we let the children go ahead and carry on Shabbos? Means we're going to stand there and watch the children. We're cheering them on. They should carry on Shabbos. You see that Rabbi Pedas was of the opinion that when a child is doing an Avera, the Gemara uses the example Eichon Avelos, Eichon Avelos is really just an illustration. When a child under the age of Bar Bas Mitzvah is doing an Avera, it's not our problem. It means Ein Beis Mitzvah Lafrisho. How do you know that even if a Gadol is doing an Avera, how do you know that I'm Mechuv to stop him? So there are Dinim in the Torah of Hochev Techev Samisecha. There's an idea of Lafrisho the Isurim. Again, when that applies, doesn't apply, it's not for now. But the Gemara is assuming at this point that whole parsha of Lafrisho Miyasim only applies to Gadolim, doesn't apply to Kanim. So the Gemara asks, secondly, the Marmi Komos, the whole Sugi continues on to Kafidan Ben Aleph. So the Gemara asks, wait a second, how could Rabbi Pedas, the Amora, say that there's nothing wrong with letting a katan do an aveir? I'm not mechuyev to intercede. Tashma, the Gemara quotes a pasuk, lo so chlum kishekatein. The pasuk says that you're not allowed to eat these trefa things, kishekatein. So the Gemara's drasha, lo sachilum. It's written in a strange formulation, lo so chlum. So the Gemara says, lo sachilum. That comes to teach us the hazak do an haktanet. So the Braisa says, learns out from this pasuk that there is an isser of watching a katan do an aveira. If I see a child do an aveira, I am a chuyif to intercede. This is what the pasuk is teaching me. L'hazik gadol malaktanim. So comes the Gemara says, my lab da amlu lo soch lo. So doesn't that mean that I'm a chuyif to stop a child? If I see a child eating treif, I'm a chuyif to stop him. So too, if I see a child being mechal Shabbos, aren't I a chuyif to stop him? So how could the story in Rabbi Pedas, how could they, I don't know whether they encouraged or not encouraged, but clearly they weren't stopping them. They were setting up the situation that the child's going to carry the keys. So how could we let that happen? What happened to the pasuk lo so chlum? So the Gemara says, no, that's not what it means. Lo below listful lady adayim. With that pasuk lo so chlum, that drasha lo so chlum, lo sachilum, hazo gedolah b'katanim doesn't mean that I'm mechuyev to intercede when the child is doing an avera. But rather what it means is I'm not allowed to actively encourage the child to do an avera. What does that mean? So that's what's called lispilei biyadayim. It's the Aramaic phrase, but the Hebrew phrase is lahachil biyadayim. So it's prohibited in the Torah for me to actively cause a child to do an aveira. So the example, par excellence, of actively causing a child to do an aveira is to literally feed him. Give a piece of chazir. So that's also in the Torah. So the Rishonim extend this. Now let's say I tell the child to do an aveira. He's standing by the light, and I say, turn on the light, turn on the light, turn on the light. I'm giving him a pep talk to turn on the light on Shabbos. So that's included in the Isser of lo sochlum, of Lahazir Gedolim Alektanim. But in the first case, in the story of Amos, so we didn't tell him to do an Aveira. We told the child to come play. We told him, hey, there's a nice game outside. So the children came in themselves to come play, and the child finds the key. If we would have said to the child, oh, there's a key on the floor, I need that key. Can you please carry that key for me? that would have been asam in a Torah. That would have been included in the pasuk of lo sochlum, lo sachilu mahazik gedolim akhtarim. But that's not what happened. What happened was is that we just brought the children there, and that we set the hill up. They should find the keys themselves. So the Gemara says that's okay because katan oichon nevelos ain days in mitzvim afrisha. So in fact, there happens to be a machlokes in the Gemara itself whether Rabbi Pedas is right or not. And we paskin the halacha that he was right. We paskin that the halacha is that katan oichon nevelos ain days in mitzvim afrisha. So this halacha that we accept in Maseches Yevamos Lekula, that the gzeras hakosav of lahazik gedolim akhtanim only means that I actively cause the child to do an avera, but if the child does it by himself, I'm not mechuyev to intercede. So this is a very serious problem. All the Rishonim are bothered with the obvious problem, based on what we said last week, is very difficult to understand. We learned last week that there's a mitzvah of chinuch, there's a halacha, that I have to train the child to sit in the sukkah and to hear the shofar and to hear kiddush. So I have to train the child in the realm of positive mitzvahs. So l'chora, if you think about it, in terms of which, I don't want to give a, which mitzvah more important, but in terms of doing an avera, Kol Shabbos is pretty high up there also. So if I have to train the child to say kiddush, I have to train the child to come to shul to hear the shofar, to train him to eat matzah. But when it comes to Chilul Shabbos, that's okay. As long as I didn't tell him to do it, as long as he decided to turn the light by himself, I don't have to stop. And what happened to the mitzvah of chinuch? So in fact, there's one. Oh, that's what you get. That's what some Rishonim give that teretz. Very good. Some Rishonim some Rishonim have that teretz. So there is in fact one of the Rishonim who gives a very difficult teretz for us to understand, who says that yeah, that chinuch only applies to mitzvah saseh, doesn't apply to lo saseh. Very, very difficult. Because basically what that Rishonim is saying, I think it's Yerim, if I'm not mistaken, is saying, is that the child could be eating treif, and the child could be being mechal Shabbos. The child could do everything. But he's Mechal Shabbos, we have to make sure he has Kiddush. Because you have to make sure that he does the mitzvah say, there is a din of chinuchan, but the losa says there's no chinuch. It's very, very difficult to understand why that should be so. So most of the Rishonim assume that that's not the correct teretz. So what is the correct teretz? So it comes to Shulchan Aruch, the third of the Mamre Kobos, and really, in effect, quotes you both different opinions in the Rishonim as to what is the more correct teretz of this kasha. So the Mechaber, in Simen Shin Mem Gimel Sif Aleph, opens up with quoting the Gemara Yevamos, that if a child is eating nevelos, eating chazer, doing other averas, we're not mechuyev to intercede. Aval, oviv mitzuva ligor bo lafrisho. So this is already the teretz that was ready. It began to be suggested that the Shulchan Aruch draws a distinction between beizdin, the beizdin is not mechuyev lafrisho, but the father is required to stop him from doing averas. Ulachilo biyadayim, to feed him literally. Also, Asilu Dvaram Shasur Midivrei Sofer. Shulchan Aruch says that's for sure a problem to actually feed him. Chayin also La Gila Bechilu Shabbos and Moed. Asilu Dvaram Shem Mishim Shavos. That if I see that to actually encourage the child to do even Chilu Shabbos the Rabbanon would be problematic. Hagah and Ad Ramah says V'yesh Omrim Techol Ze Bekatan Delo Higil Lachinuch. Aval Higil Lachinuch Tzvichim Lafrisho. V'yesh Omrim Delo Shai Chinuch Lebeizen Ela Av Dolvad. So the Shulchan Aruch and the Ramah basically are quoting to both the roots into this kasha. That again, we started out with the kasha, how could it be last week Shia that there was an inyan of chinuch and mitzvah saseh, and all of a sudden the halacha says that katan ochel nevelos ein days in mitzvah lafrisha. How could those two halachas still live together? So one day in the Rishonim is that the principle of chinuch only applies to a parent. There is no chinuch on somebody else's child. So the halacha is katan ochel nevelos, chazal are very medayik in the lashon, ein days in mitzvah lafrisha. That days in means is the Bezin literally or Klal Yisrael as the Bezin, so to speak. So if I see somebody else's 12 and a half year old child doing the worst of Eros in Mechal Shabbos, eating trays, doing everything, it's not my problem. Ein Bezin Mitzvah Mafrisha. Chinuch is also not my problem. I have to mechanach my own children, I'm not mechuyev to mechanach somebody else's children. That's one answer in the Rishonim to solve this apparent contradiction. And other Rishonim say no, that chinuch applies both to the parents as well as to the outsiders. So what does the Gemara mean when it says that katan ochel nevelos ein days in mitzvah lafrisho? So come the other group of Rishonim and say, what kind of a child is that? How old is the child? The answer is the child is below the age of chinuch. That's what the Ramah quotes. The chol zeh b'katan d'lo higil l'chinuch. So we already know that the age of chinuch depends. We mentioned this last week, that the age of chinuch depends to a certain degree on the aveira, on the mitzvah of the aveira, and it depends on a certain degree on the child as well. So if you have a child who he doesn't know what's going on, the child's 2 years old, so and he's standing there turning on and off the light. So he's low higil l'chinuch. So that's what the Gemara means. The Katal Achim Avelas Ein Beis Mufsidim Lafrisha. Those little kids that they brought in to go play with the keys. How old were they? How old the kids get? You get so excited about keys. So the little kids who are below the age of chinuch. So then the halacha is Ein Beis Mufsidim Lafrisha. But if the child is above the age of chinuch, so of course Beis Din is Mechuyav Lafrisha. Beis Din is the din of chinuch, and chinuch is not limited only to the parents. So this is really a major machlekes of Rishonim, and really 2 days in the Shulchan Aruch and the Ramah, as to how to understand the idea of chinuch. Is chinuch something which is only parent-oriented, or is chinuch something which is Klal Yisrael-oriented? Is there an obligation of chinuch on somebody else's children? So this may be really a throwback to what we spoke about last week. We said that there was a machlokes in Rishonim about the very nature of the mitzvah of chinuch. In terms of lamdus, how do we understand what the mitzvah of chinuch is all about? So we mentioned last week that there's a Rashi and a Ramban who seem to say that chinuch is not really that the child is obligated in this mitzvah. The child is mechuyav to refrain from doing an aveira, but rather it's an obligation on the av, that the chiyav of chinuch rests primarily on the parent, to such an extent that Rashi said the child, even though he's a gil chinuch, is called an ena mechuyav bedavar, and as such can't be motzias hagodol yidei chavaso. And other Rishonim said no. Other Rishonim said that a katan who's a gil chinuch, so the chachamim were mechayev the child himself, that the child is called the Bechui B'davar on a level of the Rabbanon. So that seems to be what the issue here is involved. If you hold that the mitzvah of chinuch is a mitzvah that will tell us al ha'av, so then the formulation of the takran of chinuch was on the av, on the aim, on the parents. That was it. That's all there is there anymore. It doesn't apply to the child. Even the child himself, we said last week, if the child could sneak away from the parents, so there's nothing wrong if he doesn't eat matzah tonight. There's nothing wrong if he doesn't sit in the sukkah. It's the parents' obligation to make sure that he does the mitzvah. So once you limit the nature of the mitzvah of chinuch parent-oriented, so then obviously it only applies to the parents. It has nothing to do with the beis, nothing to do with Klal Yisrael. But if you hold that the nature of chinuch is that the child is called a mechuy b'dav amid the rabbanon, so then I have an obligation to make sure that every person fulfills their obligation. So the same way that if I see a gadol doing something wrong, so the mitzvah achech techeches amisecha kicks in and is mechayiv me under certain circumstances to intercede, so too if I see a child doing something wrong, if I see a child being mechal shabbos, if I see a child eating treif, if I see a child not doing his mitzvah that he should be doing, so then it behooves me to intercede. So if you hold that chinuch is really parent-oriented, then the chiluk between beis din and parents makes a lot of sense. If you hold that chinuch is child-oriented, so then the chiluk really doesn't make that much sense. So of course everybody would be mechuyev to help out, to intercede, to make sure that the child does whatever mitzvahs and averus he's supposed to be doing. So how do we pass in the halacha? Halach l'maisa, if I see a child over the age of chinuch doing an aveira, and it's not my child, am I mechuyev to stop him or not? So it's 2 days in the Ramah. So the Mishnah Berurah quotes from the Chayyadim that perhaps we should distinguish between dirim d'araisa and dirim d'rabbanan. That's really a sfeik of the deen. We're really not sure what the halach is. So when you're dealing with the d'araisa, if I see a child being mechal Shabbos, I see a child eating chazir, so then if it's my child, for sure I have to stop him if he's a gil chinuch, and if it's somebody else's child, I really should also stop him. But if he's only doing an issur d'rabbanan, I see the child moving muktzah or something, I see the child eating a bishlachav, I see him doing something which is only prohibited by d'rabbanan, so then by d'rabbanan one can rely on the mekilim. Relying on the mekilim means that if it's my child, for sure I have to stop him. There's no question. If I see my own child doing an issur d'rabbanan, I have to stop him. But if I see somebody else's child doing an issur d'rabbanan, then the Mishnah Berurah is willing to be mekil, like those we show him that chinuch is only parent-oriented. So we really pass in a split. That the deraisas were machmir to be mafresh even somebody else's children, if at all feasible. Sometimes it's not so feasible. Sometimes the parents may not appreciate your interceding. So again, there are other issues. Sometimes you have to take into consideration. But just in terms of the pure requirement, the absolute requirement of lafrish and isurim, if it's a deraisa, so even if somebody else's child, one should intercede. And if it's a derabanan, then one should only intercede for one's own child. At what age is one required to intercede? So clearly the shir is a gil chinuch. So is there any guidelines in terms of what's called the gil chinuch? So we said last week that mitzvah say, so it depends on the mitzvah. It may have to even be in somewhat of a more advanced stage. As we said last week in Yisod, that until the child is old enough to do the mitzvah b'shleimusa, the shir of chinuch doesn't apply. So when it comes to lavim, when it comes to isurim, so the post can make the following distinction. When it comes to isurim, so they don't have to be, the child doesn't have to be that mature, the child doesn't have to be that deep to understand what the whole picture of the Lama Tess Malachas is all about. All the child has to understand is what the word no means.
No. A lot of...
So that could be the age of still waiting, still take the hill, and we're going to reach that age at some point. But once the child understands what the word no means, that's already considered to be Higel Lechidich in the realm of Yisurim. So again, the folks can say, I don't know, four, five, I don't know, three, I don't know. It's hard to quantify exactly how much that is. But again, if you see the little baby standing there, the 1.5-year-old who realizes that he's tall enough to reach the light switch, so he's standing there going on and off and on, if he has no clue what you're going to tell him, no, Shabbos. But so that's clearly not the Yilchina. Once the child is old enough that he hops a little bit, he knows what you're not allowed to do, so you know he's not so advanced. He's not old enough necessarily to be chayv and lulav and tzitzis, but he is already considered to be a gil chinuch. So I guess we reached that milestone. My youngest one is festival for Shabbos. So the second I finished Havdalah, so the first words, I'm embarrassed to say, but the first words out of his mouth were, I could watch a video now, right? So he already chopped that until Havdalah is not allowed to watch a video. Okay, but so I think that's already the shir. That's the shir. He understands that there are certain things they're not allowed to do on Shabbos. So even though he doesn't exactly understand that much about Shabbos, but he understands the basic yes and no about Shabbos. I think that's the Gil Chinuch Rebbe Shabbos, which would mean that if he goes ahead and he does the Malach on Shabbos, so I would have to at least try to stop him from doing that. I think that part's gonna change. It's gonna depend on the child, right? But in terms of that idea of chinuch that we mentioned last week, it has to be a much more mature understanding. Like we said last week, that to be chayv and lulav, it's not enough just to be able to pick up a lulav. You have to know how to shake the lulav properly. So I think that's gonna be a little bit of a later stage. This idea that the Gemara tells us beferish that although there was a machlokes whether if the katan is zochel nevelos, whether I'm mechuyev to stop him, the one thing that's absolutely clear is that I'm not allowed to be machshel him. I'm not allowed to actively cause a child to do an aveir. And if we're going back to the last Maran Mokom, so the Shulchan Aruch said that it's also afilu bedvarim shasur midivrei soferim, that for me to actually feed him, to actually cause him to do an aveir, even an aveir derabanan, that would be a problem. That's included in lo sochel musafir lebi adayim. So the emphasis says that not all the Rishonim agree to that. The Shulchan Aruch is quoting the Rambam, not surprised, the Shulchan Aruch usually does, but the Rashba disagrees. The Rashba's opinion was that the Isser of Lahachel Biadayim, to actively cause a child to either feed him or to tell him to do an Isser, so that only applies to an Isser Biaraisa. It doesn't apply to an Isser Dirabanan, provided the Rashba says, based on the Gemara Masechet Erevin, the Rashba says, provided that's for Tovas HaKotan. Means if it's only an Issa Dirabanan and I'm doing it really for the incentive for the child's benefit rather than for my own benefit, so then it's okay. Then the Rashba is Mekel. So the question is, do we pass like this or not? So the Shulchan Aruch doesn't quote this Rashba. Shulchan Aruch quotes the Rambam straight, that there's no kulos, no kunsim, no nothing, that to feed a child an Issa Dirabanan is just as also as feeding him an Issa Diraisa. So the Bi'alocha tells us that that's not so positive. It says the Bi'alocha, the fourth in the Ramakamos, Kedas HaRashba V'Aram, the Matinok Tzorach Lekach, Mutter afilu lispos lo biyadayim, davashi wasa midirabanan. It's the Rashi and Ran who are makil that if two factors. Number one, it's only nisadirabanan, and number two, it's tzorach hakatan. Then it's mutter. Ach hamechaber sasam ladina kedasa cholkim aleihem, but the mechaber doesn't even call it as a yeshayimim. The oisim bechol gavni. Because mechivus Rabbi Kiva Eger, Rabbi Kiva Eger was willing to be makil b'shasat chach based on the Rashi in the following case. So that was tiltul asvarna based on Knesses. The Mokam Sha'in Erev Ayyadei Tino, common Shiloh. So you have an area where there's no Erev in town, and you want to know, can I have the child carry on my behalf? So what do you mean there's no Erev in town? So from the fact that there's no Erev in town, that in and of itself probably indicates that it's only an Issa Derabbanan to carry that place in the first year. Because if it would be an Issa Deraisa, then we wouldn't even be discussing whether there's an Erev here. Because the sweet pasuk in Shulchan Aruch, that whenever you have an area that's a Rishus Aram Deraisa, an area that you're not permitted to carry in Minat Torah, so then the only way to make such an Erev would be to literally enclose it with walls and lock the doors at night, something which obviously wouldn't be too relevant for us. So the whole institution of Erevin, as we know today, in terms of Tzuras HaPesach, the first Mishnah was for Erevin, the institution of Tzuras HaPesach, so we assume that doesn't work if the area is going to be Rosh Hashanah Derai. So why that statement is true is a big question, but that's generally what's assumed la halacha. So Rabbi Kivegu is assuming also that the area involved, the area in question, is not a Rosh Hashanah Derai. It's for whatever technical reasons only an area that's also to carry midirabanan. So he wants to know, can I ask the child to carry a sefer for me in an area that's also to carry midirabanan? Yesh lusboch was ala rashba, it's a derabanan safin lebiadayim. So comes Rabbi Kivegu and says, there's nothing to rely on. Beishiv tzeinu, the aran kosev perek kol kisvil hedyo, The Alfla Rashba Safinale Rakwit Sarchovalo Tsarchena, the Rash Sarai from the Gemara, that even Rishitosa, even according to his idea, he wanted to be Makil, to be permitted to ask the child, to actively cause the child to do an Issa to Rabbanon, that's only if it's Litzarcho, only if it's Litzarch of the child, not Litzarchena, not if he's just using the baby, using the child as a Shabbos going. That's clearly out of the question. So if you had Rav Machin and Viadayim, if you see the child is doing it on your behalf, you have to stop him. So what do you do about this problem? So comes Rabbi Kivegim and says, so according to the Rambam, there's nothing to talk about. Of course you can't give the child the siddur to carry, even though it's only also midrabbanan, it's only an area that's also the carry midrabbanan. According to the Rambam, there's no distinction there, Isis and midrabbanan. And even according to the Rashba, gave us a piskun peh, gave us a little bit of an opening to be makil, but even the Rashba said the buck stops here, that since it's being done, the tzorech ha-godol, that's a problem. So says the Reb Kivegel, what you can do is as follows. V'yesh takona, liten latinok, chumish v'sidur, sheyisol ha-beksek nesosach, atzmolis pala v'shmo kriyas ha-tara. You can say to the kid, don't you want to daven? Don't you want to hear kriyas ha-tara? So you're telling the 6-7-year-old kid to carry the sidur in the chumish for you. But when neyla yitztar, fagam imol v'shpala yachad. And then once the child is doing it, l'tzorcho, so Mamela, we're permitted to jump on the bandwagon as well. So this is a cool, this is a Shas of Chachtik, a cool that the Be'alach quotes from the Kivegar, that against the Shukhanach. The Shukhanach, the normative pshat is that you're not allowed to cause a child to do anything, to raise it, to rabban it, l'tzachen, l'tzachol, everything is also. And the Kivegar is negal, but Shas of Chachtik, if it's a combination of two factors, if it's the Tzorech HaKotan, plus it's only in Yisrael, the rabban, and then it's going to be permissible. We had the Shaila one time, we may have said over the story when we went to the Chol of Acham Sugis a couple of years ago. So we had the Shaila once, we were flying from Eretz Yisrael back to New York, and there was a problem with the plane, and they had to make an emergency landing in Rome, and we were stuck in Rome for most of the day. Unfortunately, the day was Sunday, and the mechanics in Rome weren't working that day. Blue laws in Rome, I guess. So we were stuck for hours and hours and hours in Rome, and there was no food. The problem was we had my oldest daughter, it was a little baby. So I think we ran out of milk. So they gave us in the airport in Rome, they gave us some milk. So I'm looking at the milk, looking up and down, trying to figure out what it says on it. So we know when we spoke about the sugyas of Chol of Akum, so we said that Rav Moshe's kula, that you're permitted to rely on governmental supervision, that you don't have to drink Chol of Yisrael, that only applies when the government is responsible, and the government is really authoritative, and there's really no chance whatsoever that anyone's going to swap and gonna throw in some camel's milk. So when I tell you the truth, I don't want to be mochi laws in the Italian government. I have no idea. I don't know what the standards of milk supervision are. I remember I once said over the shir, somebody came up to me afterwards and they started screaming and saying, what? Are you being mighty laws? You think the Italian government, you think they're a government from the 1500s? You think they let them substitute chazan milk? I don't know, they got so insulted that I was being the fox fake on the government of Rome. Anyway, whatever it was, so we had this milk in front of me. And I wasn't 100% convinced that this is really kosher milk. I said, maybe this is included in the Gezeirah Derabbanan of Chol of Akum. So I'm committed to give, I wasn't going to drink it myself, but committed to give it to my child. Again, provided, leaving out any issues of Pikuach Nefesh and maybe Chol and things of that nature. Just tell me, you're permitted to give Chol of Akum to the child, assuming that it doesn't have the heter of Rav Moshe's heter. So I think that it was mutter based in this Bir Alocha. Because that din that the Mishnah says that Chol of Akum is also, so remember back from 2 years ago, so we said that's only a Chumah Midrabbanan. Why is it only a Chumah Midrabbanan? Because Min HaTorah, we assume that there's a Rov. Min HaTorah, Rov milk is perhaps from kosher animals, or Min HaTorah, even if the guy put in a little bit of Chaza milk, it was bottled Barov. So based on the principle of Rov, the Shach says that Midarais, if you have a cup of milk in front of you, so there's no reason to believe that it's Chaza milk. Looks like regular cow's milk. So you don't have to be choshesh min haTorah that it really has some chazer in it. It's a chumah midrabbanan that the Chumim instituted that you have to have Yisro Ro'eyu. So Rav Moshe's chiddush was, if you have government supervision, that's ke'ilu, you have Yisro Ro'eyu. But even without the government supervision, even without the Yisro Ro'eyu, push comes to shove, it's only in the midrabbanan in the first place. Because min haTorah you have rights to rely on Rov. So here I have a cup of milk, which is also midrabbanan, perhaps. Worst case in here, it's also midrabbanan. I want to give it to a child, and it's b'tzorech hachal. not my tzarech, the tzarech of the child. So according to the Rashba, that's okay. That was never included in the Yisra of Tefillin Levi Adayim. So I thought that based on what Vega says, B'shas Lachak, I think this is a pretty big Shas Lachak. So even without coming on to that Teir B'Pikuch Nefesh or Makam Chayim, things of that nature, I think just on Tefillin Levi Adayim and Yisra the Rabbanu, the tzarech of the child, I think there are grounds L'Hakil. This may sometimes be relevant in terms of certain types of medications. Again, is you have to speak to the mumchum in an area. But even if you have certain medications which may be questionable in terms of kashrus, so if it can be ascertained that there's not a shal of deraisa here, it's only a shal of a derabanan, then to give it to a child probably would also be significantly more medical, because if there's no other medication available, it would be l'tzarech hakatan, and it's a derabanan l'tzarech hakatan, b'shas adchat, there are grounds to be medical based on this Rabbi Kinegar. This halacha that one is not permitted to feed children dvar ma'asurim, so there may be some exceptions to this rule. One of the major exceptions is the fifth of the Maromakomos, the Mishnah in Maseches Yuma, and the Pebeza and Aleph, where the Mishnah tells us that tinoikis im anan asam biyom kippurim, from a chanchanasam lefnei shana lefnei shnatayim b'shur shiur regilu b'mitzvahs, that one is not supposed to have little children fast on Yom Kippur. It's considered to be chashash pikuach nefesh. It's something that when I was a little kid also, we were nichshol on this, that the little kids, by the time they're 5 years old, they're already having competitions. Who's fasting longer? So I think there's a fast Yom Kippur. One of the kids, and I didn't even know, if I would have known about it, I would have gone and insisted that the kid ate. But I think one of the kids in shul was, I don't know, 7, 8 years old, whatever it was. They were fasting. So then, the kids threw up, and this is a big problem. One has to be very, very careful about this. This is Mama Shalas of Pikuach Nefesh. So the Mishnah says, no ands, ifs, and buts. The little children do not fast at all in Yom Kippur. When they get closer to Bar Mitzvah, then there's sugyas in the Gemara about to have them be mechanech a little bit. They should fast a couple of hours. But again, those are talking about much older children closer to Bar Mitzvah. And then you have the idea of chinuch. But by the little kids, so shouldn't be mechanech them at all in this area. So the Poskim raised the following Shalas. This halacha that one is not allowed, in a sense, to have the child fast and give her. So it's understood that who's going to be feeding the child? So the parents are going to be feeding the child. So isn't that safinim le'diyadayim? So isn't that a problem? If eating on Yom Kippur is an issa deraisa, so how can the parent feed the child on Yom Kippur? So one approach that some achmarim take is that in a chinam, it's really awesome, but pikuach nefesh. I mean, there's no heter per se. The heter is pikuach nefesh. So the Nechaschina had such an idea, and the Marcheshes, the Yom Zona from before the war, he also had such an idea that maybe the whole heter of feeding the child is purely based on the idea of Pikuach Nefesh. If this is true, then this is going to be a tremendous chumrah, because it's not always Pikuach Nefesh for the kid to eat. It's true, it's Pikuach Nefesh for the child to eat something on Yom Kippur, to drink something on Yom Kippur, but when it comes 5 o'clock, and the child comes and he says, I'm dying because I don't have a lollipop, so if I pull out a lollipop and hand it to him, so that's the feeding Levi Adayim. So nothing's going to happen if he doesn't eat the lollipop. So if you hold that the whole heter of feeding a child in Yom Kippur is based on Pikuach Nefesh, then one would have to be careful in Yom Kippur only to feed the child what is really absolutely necessary. And the Olam is generally not knowing that way. So what's the pshat? So how come it's not the feeding Levi Adayim? So a group of Echareinim explain it's based on the following, that there really is a fundamental difference between the issur of eating on Yom Kippur and other types of issurim, particularly other types of mechalos asuros. So we've touched on this a little bit in the past also, that there are really two different types of issurim in the Torah. There are issurei gavra and there are issurei chefza. So issurei gavra means that the object in question, there's nothing really wrong with the object in question. The object is kosher. There's nothing intrinsically, nothing spiritually wrong with the object. But the Torah says that you as a person shouldn't be eating this particular object. And sometimes you have what's called an issur chefza, which means that the object itself is, in a sense, spiritually poisonous. There's something wrong, something intrinsically wrong, something intrinsically detrimental with this particular object. So that idea, the difference in halacha between issurei gavra and issurei chefza, that already has its roots in the Gemara. Some people think that Reb Chaim made up the terms gavra and chefza. Reb Chaim didn't make it up. The Gemara made it up. Reb Chaim just built a whole Torah about it. But the original idea is based on the Gemara. The Gemara says that the Darim, the Vez and the Vez has the idea. The Gemara says that we find in the Chumash itself a difference between a neder and a shvua, that a person can say the same thing, in effect, he can formulate it slightly different. And the person doesn't want to eat meat, so he takes a neder that the meat should be also to him. The meat should be should be prohibited to him. That's one way of saying it. The other way of saying it is that he says that he won't eat the meat. He takes a shvua that he's not going to eat the meat. The Gemara says, at the end of the day, it can't eat the meat. But if it's a dead or a shvu, it can't eat the meat. So, my nafkamina, why does the Torah give us Hilchos Nedarim? Why is there a whole parsha of Nedarim? Why is there a whole parsha of Shavuos? So, the Gemara says that they're very, very different conceptually. That a neder means that the person has endowed this piece of meat with Kedusha, with an Issa to it, and now this meat is straight to him. This meat is also to him. A shvua means nothing wrong with the meat. The meat is perfectly okay. That he as a person said, he is not going to eat the meat. But in terms of the meat itself, there's nothing intrinsically wrong. So the Gemara explains in the beginning of Maseches Nedarim, that seemingly academic distinction, whether it's the Gavra point of view, whether it's the Chefza point of view, that makes all the difference in the world. I mean, that many of the Chilukim La'alacha between Nedarim and Shvuos all stem from that basic Chiluk, the difference between the Neder and the Shvuos. So the Marshal, the Gemara says, that a neder can't be chal on a dover she'ein bo mamash. That a person says that sleep should be also to him. That's a meaningless statement. Sleep doesn't exist. There's no cheftz of sleep. But if he says that he won't sleep, he takes a shvur that he won't sleep, so that's already considered to be a shvur. That's a question that goes, what do you do with such a shvur? The guy says he's not going to sleep, but it's a shvur shav. He's going to have to sleep. Every person has to sleep. That's a technical problem. What do you do with such a strange type of a shvur? But the concept of a neder and a dover she'ein bo mamash doesn't really get off the ground. The reason being, because neder is chefza oriented. So although the Gemara uses the phrase gavra and chefza vis-a-vis the Nedarim and Shvuos, the Gemara never really addresses the issue of kol ha-Torah kula. Namely, the Torah says not to eat chazer. So is pshat of chazer is an issur gavra, or is chazer an issur chefza? Is there something intrinsically wrong with chazer? The Torah is spiritually saying this is like poison? Or the Torah is saying, no, you as a person shouldn't eat the chazer. So it could be that different issurim are different. So it could be that machos asuros may be more chefz oriented, but achila on Yom Kippur may be more gavra oriented, because it's very hard to conceive to say that one day a year all the food in the world becomes spiritually poisonous. Sounds very, very strange. It sounds like that the nature of the Isra on Yom Kippur is that you as a gavra should be shavit me'achila. You as a gavra should refrain from eating. But it's not that the Torah is saying that there's something intrinsically poisonous, something intrinsically wrong with the food. So this idea that there may be a difference between these machos asuros on the one hand and Yom Kippur on the other hand, this may be the rationale behind this halacha, behind this mishnah in Yom Kippur Pebeiz and Aleph. Why there's absolutely nothing wrong for Ketanim to eat in Yom Kippur, and even for a gadol to feed the Ketanim in Yom Kippur is not a problem. Why is that? Because b'med dvar memurim that the Torah says that you're not allowed to feed a child in aveira, you're not allowed to encourage a child, you're not allowed to actively cause a child to do an aveira. That's when you're talking about a type of aveira that's spiritually bad for the child. And machol surah is the easiest one for us to comprehend. That machol surah, so we understand it's tamtim is halei, it's bad for the child, even though the child is not the bar chiyuva. He's technically speaking not chayav mitzvahs yet, but av b'chein, for me to actively go ahead and cause him to do something which is spiritually poisonous, so that's the isra of lahazik gdolim al ketanim. Rashi ain't kidding Yom Kippur. There's nothing wrong with eating Yom Kippur. Please don't. Take that out of context. I mean, there's nothing intrinsically wrong with eating Yom Kippur. There's nothing spiritually wrong with the food in Yom Kippur. The problem with eating Yom Kippur is that you as a gavra should stay away from food. So you as a gavra, I mean, you hametzuvah b'davar, you who is a gadol over the age of bar bas mitzvah, should be staying away from food. Whereas the katan who was never given the mitzvah to refrain from eating on Yom Kippur, so the katan, the din of l'achila b'yadayim, doesn't even get off the ground. So that's what the Minhag HaOlam, I think, generally assumes, like, that we don't refrain from giving the children candies on Yom Kippur, even though they can clearly live without it, because the whole business of Din of Yadayim doesn't get off the ground in this area. This is probably also the reason why the Beis Yosef writes that the Din of Safin Lev Yadayim doesn't apply to certain types of Isurim, like Lamashal, the famous one that we rely on this all the time, the Isur of eating before Kiddush. The Gemara says in Psachim that you're not allowed to eat before you make Kiddush on Friday night, and Shabbos morning probably also. So that issur of eating before Kiddush, does that apply to a katan? Is there anything wrong with me giving a katan something, a hand to katan a candy and shul, knowing full well that the kid's going to eat it before hearing Kiddush? So the Beis Yosef writes, that's okay. Why is that? So the same idea that the issur of eating before Kiddush, what's pshat? All food in the world is poisonous and yeah, Kiddush. That doesn't make any sense. There's nothing wrong with the food. The food is hetter gomer. You as a gavra have a mitzvah to make Kiddush. So Kol's Mandi, you didn't do that mitzvah, you shouldn't be eating first. But the child doesn't have the mitzvah, because the child is only midrabana and Mishpachinuch has the mitzvah, but he's not a real Bar Chiyuva, the classic sense of the word. So that Isser of eating before Kiddush doesn't get off the ground vis-a-vis the child. We do this all the time. When we make Kiddush in Shul, many Shuls make Kiddush on Friday night, so nobody's really Yotze in the midst of Kiddush on Friday night, because you need Kiddush Machom Suda. So why do we make it? So that's a throwback to the Gemara Pesachim, says in the olden days they used to have guests in Shul, so the guests would eat in Shul, so therefore they would make Kiddush to be Motzi the guest. That's why there are many places that don't make Kiddush in Shul anymore, because we don't have guests to eat in our Shuls. So Machlokes have shown them whether we should keep up this practice of the Gemara, if the reason that the Gemara gives clearly doesn't apply anymore. That's a shalom. The Rishon Machlokes is different than Hagam and Klai Yisrael today. But everybody agrees that when you hear Kiddush and Shul, you're not Yotze, because it's not Kiddush Machum Suda. So if you're not Yotze, then Makadish isn't Yotze either. If the Makadish isn't Yotze, how can I drink the wine? The answer is he can't. There's no Hanami. That the person who's making the Kiddush and Shul is not permitted to drink the wine, because that would be tantamount to drinking before a Kiddush. So what do you do to solve the problem? So you shut him right. You give it to the child. So ask the Beis Yosef, how can you give it to the child? So you're giving the child something to eat before he has Kiddush. So the answer is, we don't care about that. The same way we give the child something to eat on Yom Kippur, so we give the child something to eat before Kiddush. Oh, very good. Very good. Excellent. That's a little bit of a problem. I mean, if this whole Shtickl Torah is correct, so then why do we find that the Isser of L'Hachal B'Yadayim B'Chalal applies to Shabbos? So the possible answer to that question may be, it answers to another question that everyone else is bothered with also. When it comes to Shabbos, the Torah says, Lo sasaka malacha ato vincha vitecha. So vincha vitecha clearly means under bar mitzvah. If it's above mitzvah, then it's ato. So the Acharon of Baal B'Kasha, why do you need a pasuk by Shabbos to tell me that you're not allowed to cause the child to do an Aveira? Typically, that it's no worse than Machol Sasuros. So there are different answers to that kasha. So one of the answers to that kasha may be exactly the answer to your question. Maybe the Nidachinami, the Shabbos really should not have been included in this. That the Isser of L'Hachal B'Yadayim maybe really should have only applied to something which is like an Isser Chefza-oriented type of a thing. And the Shabbos is, in a sense, the exception to the rule. The Chilul Shabbos is an exception, even though it's an Isser Gavra, but there's a special Zeres HaKos of L'Sachim L'Cha Atav V'in Chavitecha. But other types of Isser Gavra, such as eating in Yom Kippur, eating before Kiddush, so perhaps those are not included. So, Chol Panim, we have the really two aspects of this halacha. There's the Chinuch aspect of a child doing Averos, which is everything we spoke about before in terms of, is it limited to the parents? Does it apply before chinuch? After chinuch? What's the shir of chinuch? And then the second half, in terms of actively causing the child to do an aveira, the possible exceptions to that rule being under certain limited circumstances, yisurim derabanan, and perhaps other exceptions on Yom Kippur, even before Kiddush, based on this idea that perhaps the whole issa doesn't apply to yisurim gavra.
Okay, would he be over the Pneida?
No, he hopes that's okay. Because it's only in the Siddur Rabbanan. It's the Tzorech HaKatan, so they